Sometimes when I think about the legacy I want to leave for my children and my grandchildren, it is exactly this that I hope they are learning from me, and that is the solid ground on which they can stand, the ground of faith. I hope more than whether they liked my cookies and my bread, or the clothes I wore, or the way I left, I hope what they know from me is something about faith in Jesus Christ, faith in God. And our faith can be, and hopefully is, like this. It's like being able to stand up when there is so much in life that can knock us down. Imagine how someone feels when they say something like this. There are lots of ways to say it. I just don't know where I stand. Someone might say that. Or they might say, so many things happened that I felt like I'd been hit by a truck, just knocked flat. Have you ever felt that way? Well, let's look at how God comes to us, how God reaches out for us and picks us up and invites us to follow as Christ's disciples and friends. Look in Isaiah 6, in this passage we had this morning, where we see how Isaiah is called to become a prophet. He was in the temple in Jerusalem, or perhaps he had a vision of being in the temple in Jerusalem, and it was after the King Uzziah had died, probably a sobering moment for him and for the nation of Israel. And so here he was, and in the temple, he felt God's awesome presence. And God's presence was absolutely overwhelming. He says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. The hem of his robe filled the whole temple. Seraphs, that is, angels, creatures, were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with two, they flew. It was an amazing vision. He talks about smoke filling the house. And look how he responded to that vision. First, he is totally awed by God's power, God's majesty, God's beauty. He is totally awed. And how appropriate that is. Shouldn't we all always be awed by this God we worship? Because God is beyond our understanding, beyond our imagining. God is God. This Wednesday night, some of us looked at the text of the Nicene Creed, where Jesus Christ is described as being of one substance with the Father. The Creed says, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. These words lift our thoughts to God, with God being beyond us in every way, beyond our description, beyond our imagining. So just as Isaiah experiences God in the temple, we too are awed by who and what God is. So what did Isaiah do but feel an immediate fear, a realization of how frail, how imperfect, how helpless he and we are before such a wondrous God? Woe is me, Isaiah says. I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. How mean of him to draw us in. We are a people of unclean lips. Or maybe not you, but I am. So I suspect you may feel at times that way, awed by who God is and therefore washed over by the realization that you, that we are frail and imperfect and sinful and helpless. And like Isaiah, you might call out to God in dismay, oh God, I'm lost. Why would you look at me? Why would you care about me? Like Paul, maybe sometimes the one thing you were not going to say is the one thing that popped right out of your mouth. Or the one thing you were determined to say just never came out. We are frail. We are imperfect. We are sinful. We are helpless. But does that matter to God? We might think so. Isaiah certainly thought so. I expect he was ready to bolt out of the temple and hide. But after Isaiah's cry of dismay and his confession of unworthiness, God sends that seraph to touch Isaiah's lips and declare him clean, to declare him forgiven. Not clean and forgiven by any of Isaiah's doing. And for us, not anything of our own doing, but through the love of God. And through the redemptive gift of Jesus, we can be made clean as well. Because we're special, because we paid some acceptable price, some acceptable sum. No, no, no. Not for that reason. And not that we could ever do so, but just because. Remember when you were a kid? Just because. That was an acceptable answer, wasn't it? Why did you do just because? You know, why did you say that? Just because. We are forgiven and made clean because God wants you and me and all of us. God wants us to be in a trusting, loving relationship with our God. Indeed, that's what God wants. So the seraph comes and touches Isaiah's lips, and is that all? Is that all it took? Well, no, indeed, because after that, Isaiah hears the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" God's an us, you know. God is that royal we. God can speak for the whole universe if God wants to. Who will go? And I said, Isaiah said, maybe you would say, "Here am I, send me." Remember the child in school? The teacher says, "Who'll take a note to the principal's office?" "Me, me, let me do it. Gets me out of here." God called Isaiah, and God calls us, you and me, because God has work for us to do. As for Isaiah, as flawed as we are, God declares us forgiven and calls us. I love that word, flawed. When my son Seth was born in the hospital, and I wasn't in the hospital but 26 hours or something like that, so they bring me this beautiful baby. What a sweet, exciting moment. And I looked at him, and I counted all his fingers and toes. I looked at his nose, looked at his ears, and one of his ears had what I call a poke hole in it. Had a dent. I said to the nurse, "What's that?" She said, "What?" I said, "That poke hole, that dent in his ear." And she looked, she leaned over and looked. She said, "It's a flaw." As flawed as we are, God has work for us to do. God forgives us, cleans us, God calls us. And we see this happen for Paul too in 1 Corinthians 15 and in many places in Paul's writings. But 1 Corinthians 15, we've been studying 1 Corinthians. We've been studying chapters 11 and 12 and 13. Here we are in 15, and this is a statement of faith. "The good news that I delivered to you," Paul says, "which you received and in which you stand. Namely, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day, and he appeared to the women and to Peter and to many faithful witnesses. Jesus died and was buried and was raised, and he appeared. We had proof. He appeared. So Paul reminds us and tells others about who Jesus was and what Jesus did. And then Paul adds this very interesting thing. He says, last of all, he lists all these people, Peter and all these apostles, most of whom are still alive, but some have died. Last of all, Paul says, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. And he goes on to say, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Talk about being someone with unclean lips. Paul was that person. He was sinful. He was imperfect. He was unworthy. His name was Saul at the time. He was a leader among the Jewish community. He did not believe in Jesus. He had gone out of his way to hunt down followers of Jesus, to arrest them and persecute them. He holds the coats of those who threw stones and kill Stephen. He led the opposition to the young movement of followers of the way of Jesus Christ. Surely Saul of Tarsus is exactly someone we would not expect God to choose. Not someone we would expect God to choose to be a messenger of the good news of Christ, a person of unclean lips, a sinner. But Saul is, in fact, exactly who God chose. We hear in the scripture how Jesus appeared to Saul, knocked him off his horse, struck him blind. Well, that's a way to get someone's attention. And then Jesus transformed Saul into Paul. And he made him a Christian, a believer, an apostle, a leader in the church. One who shared the good news of Jesus. And that, my friends, is who we are as well. People who can share the good news of Jesus. Chosen by the voice of God, chosen through the message of Jesus, chosen through the forgiveness of our sins, no credit to ourselves, but nonetheless chosen and loved. And we are sent forth to do the will of God, to speak the word of God, to be the hands and feet, the eyes and the ears, the representative, you and me, each of us, the representative of our God, wherever God has sent us. Maybe in the church, that's a safe place, but maybe down the road, at Belcher Elementary, or over at Publix, or down in the park, or in your neighborhood with the neighbors. You are called. You are called and you are sent. You are invited to feel the awe and receive the grace and then go forth, just like Isaiah, just like Paul, to feel the awe, receive the grace, and then go forth. To stand on the solid ground of God's truth, as I hope my children and grandchildren will, to stand on solid ground no matter what life brings, to speak the love and grace of Jesus Christ, and to live the abundant life he wants for all of us. Please pray with me. Give us a vision of your power and strength and wisdom and beauty. Help us to feel the awe of who you are. And when we feel unworthy, help us to see the grace that lifts us up and draws us closer to you through no work of our own, but because you made us and you love us. And then send us forth. As we raise our hand and say, send me, choose us to go, to take your message, even when we're afraid, even when we're uncertain. Help us to go and speak the truth of Jesus Christ to the world. In his name we pray. Amen.